Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats. I forgot to mention it, but I think everyone now knows activity bins are over here. If your kids are using activity bins, like not just the coloring sheets, but if you're using activity bins that are going to be rattling around, if you could have the kids do it at the back, around the couches and the carpet, that would be great for the sake of those who have a hard time hearing. We're not going to do any testimonies this week, but I'm hoping to have a few testimonies next week. I currently don't have any testimonies lined up for next week, but if you have a testimony you would like to share, please talk to me. Again, this is a form of worship. It's just a way of saying, hey, God is this good, and look what he said or done in my life, and it's just a way of putting the spotlight on Jesus. So if you would like to put the spotlight on Jesus with us and help us with that next Sunday, please let me know. I would love to hear more and possibly include you in that. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Where would we be without your mercy? Where would we be without your spirit? Where would we be without your word? Lord, in your mercy and by your grace and with your spirit, would you guide us in your word that it might land well and accomplish the things that you want accomplished in our lives? We're not adequate for this by ourselves. We can't live our lives to the degree that you want us to live them like Jesus, apart from the help of Jesus. We can't understand and apply your scriptures properly without the help of the helper, the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, would you grant us fresh measures of a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that we would know the hope to which you call us, that we would experience more of you making us like yourself, as you have always intended for us to become. Lord, we want to live lives that honor you. May today be another part of that journey. Help us to love you well and love others well. Open us to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you grab your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Peter? If you're new to the scriptures, just use the table of contents at the start of the Bible. The book of 1 Peter is right near the end. It's a letter in a series of letters very close to the end of the New Testament. And we're going to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're picking up where we left off last week. Peter's giving some advice to a group of churches. It's sort of generic stuff that just everybody could use a reminder of. And so in a sense, there's probably nothing here that's new to you today if you've known God for a little while, if you've read the word a little bit. But Peter actually a couple of times in his letter says, hey, it's just my job to remind you of things. And so that, in a sense, I feel a little bit like less pressure. Like, I don't have to come up with something novel because the Apostle Peter didn't. He just said, you know what? You guys already know this stuff, but let me just remind you about it. And so that's what we're doing again this morning. We're reminding ourselves of some important things that we have a tendency to forget. And so God's going to help us with that this morning. So 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm reading from the NIV. So 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Whew. I'm a public speaker, oh dear. Did you hear that one? If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. No pressure, Benjamin. If anyone serves, They should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Last week, we just looked at that first verse, the end of all things is near, and we started with this reminder to ourselves that there are things that we will do in this life which will actually carry on into the next. That there are rewards, there are things that we can do that will impact the life to come, and our job is to keep ourselves from getting sucked into the enticements that the world offers us, as though that the best that we will ever have are the dreams that the world can offer us. How to get ahead, what success looks like. And Peter reminds his people that there's a different way of living, but the different way of living can only be accessed if we think about the fact that this life will end, but there is more afterwards, and what the ways that we live now will impact what happens then. Not just in terms of where you're going, but in fact in the experience and the quality of what happens afterwards. So Peter says the end of all things is near. Keep it in mind. Think about the world differently, more sober-minded and alert about the fact that this world is going to end, but something's going to be carrying on. And he says that will affect your prayer life. I came across a story this week, or sort of an analogy by a guy named Randy Alcorn, who says this. Imagine that your home is in France. Imagine that your home is in France, in Paris, let's say. But you are on a work contract in America. And for the length of that work contract, maybe it's 3 months long, you're living in a hotel. He said, are you going to decorate that hotel and make sure that your life in America is the best that it can possibly be, and spend all of the money and use all of your time and talents to invest in the 3 months that you are in America? Or, he said, are you not going to take everything that you can that you do and earn in America and send it back to your home in France? That's what 1 Peter's talking about. Don't invest in the wrong place. The end of all things is near. Mail it home, friends. Mail it home. May we think more about our lives in view of eternity than in view of what is temporary. Peter says that's so, so, so important, but it's not the most important. Look at your Bibles, because what does he say at the very beginning of verse 8? What I said is so important, but above all else, this is even more important. This is the most important, and here it is. Love each other. Love each other. It's even more important. Now, my translation, the one that I read, says love each other deeply, but as I went back and read the Greek, it's not about a depth of love, and it's certainly not about a feeling. Do you know of I don't know what you would call it. There's this formation that happens in parts of the world where they get rain in certain seasons. It's called a wadi. Have you ever heard of this? W-A-D-I. A wadi is sort of a channel that forms because of the way that the ground is impacted by the rain. And so in the rainy seasons, the wadi will become a stream and the water will flow through. But then when the rainy season is over, the wadi dries up. What Peter is aiming at here is don't be a wadi. It's not so much about the depth of your love as it is about consistency. May there be a constant flow of love. Not simply when we feel like it. May there be a love that gets regularly expressed between different people that is constant. Love one another constantly, consistently, whether we feel like it or not. That's what Peter is after here. And we so have to get away from love is feelings, and then I act on feelings. It's not about that at all. How many of you grew up with in the 90s and it was love is a, do you remember the DC Talk song? Love is a verb. It's an action word. Verbs are more than action words, I know. I know some grammar, but their point was that love isn't so much about the feelings that we have for one another as it is the actions that we take towards other people. That we express love regardless of whether or not we're feeling it by obeying the command simply to love one another. And friends, I have found that over and over again, as we obey commands, the feelings come afterwards. I've shared this many times, when we have gone to the streets to pray for people, it wasn't because we first always went with this deep emotional burden. It's more like as you meet people and as you start serving their needs and engage with them simply because we were told to go, that's when the love is produced. If we want to see more love in our world, if we want to see more love in this room, learn to show love even before you feel like it. Love is a verb. We've talked about this a number of times, but it's worth repeating. There are certain things that the very command produces the ability to do it. And you might sit here and go, I'm not a loving person. People don't just give me the emotional boost that I really want. Some of you are real people, like the one who was just laughing now a moment ago. Some of you are not people. But all of you can learn to love and love like Jesus when we step out and obey the command to show love. There's something about obedience that produces the ability that wasn't otherwise there. You see this a number of different times in Scripture. There's something about obeying a command, even a command that sounds impossible to us, that produces the ability to do it. Jesus says to Peter, come to me, and Peter walks on water. Peter didn't come with the ability to walk on water. There's something about the command that brings with it the ability to fulfill the command when we obey. So friends, love one another. And you say, I don't have it in myself. No kidding. It's when we step out and say, I don't have it, but I will trust you and I will do something about it, that the love comes. Jesus says, heal the sick. And I don't have any power to heal the sick. But there's something about the command that produces the ability to do what Jesus said to do. Love one another. Love one another. We're not held accountable for the results. We are held accountable to the command. And he told us to love one another. Let us look for ways to obey that command. And Peter helps us with this. So would you look at the remainder of the passage? How would you love well? Well, verse 9, show hospitality. Have you had someone in your home in this room before? Simply for the sake of hospitality, because God said, show hospitality. Have you shared a meal together? Have you gone for a walk together? Have you had a conversation where you sat down with someone else in the room that you weren't already friends with and just said, how are you doing? Do we make space in our lives for people who aren't already part of our inner circle? Because that's what hospitality is. I remember Rob McLaren once saying, hospitality is not having your friends over. Right? Will we do that? Will we show love to others by welcoming them into our inner circles when they're not already there? Show hospitality. Verse 10, here's another way to show love. Each one of you has received a gift. Do you use it to help the body? Everyone here has spiritual gifts, and this body needs your gifts in order to be a healthy and functioning body. And if your gift is not being used to serve this body can't be healthy. What would you do if your leg decided that I'm retired now? Right? Your body wouldn't, things wouldn't happen, right? Right? We need every single person's spiritual gifts here, functioning here. We need them especially in kids' church and worship and some other places. But whatever your gift is, you have a place and you have value and it's needed. And God asks you to show love to the other parts of the body and to make sure that happens, he gives you something that someone else needs so that we would rely on each other. Share your gifts. Find out what they are. Verse 11, how do we show love? Speak like God. How many people need encouragement? And you could encourage them. Speak like God. God speaks the truth. I read a quote, actually in the same book I read that Randy Alcorn analogy. I read a quote that says, truth makes love possible. Love makes truth bearable. We always need truth and love together. God always speaks with truth and love together. We're seeing train wrecks happen in our world because love got disassociated from truth. There has to be truth, or it is not actually love. You destroy people's lives when you do not have and know the truth and speak from the truth. But if you speak only the truth and use it, it will become a hammer. It will become a weapon. It has to be with love. It has to be for the sake of the other. Truth makes love possible. There is no love happening if there is not truth there. But if truth is spoken without love, it can be unbearable. We need both. Learn to embrace the truth and to share it. And Peter gives all of these different ways to learn to show love to one another. But I skipped the reason why. Go back to verse 8. Love one another consistently. Why? Because they need encouragement? Yes. Because why do we need to show love to another? Well, because he loved us, so we love him, that kind of thing. Well, yes, that's probably true. But we need to show love to one another, Peter says, because love covers a multitude of sins. Why would he say that? Out of all the reasons he could have given for why we should show love to one another, we should show love simply because Jesus loved. We should be showing love simply because God loved us first. But he says the most important reason right now why we need to show love to one another is because we need to learn to forgive better. We need to learn to forgive better. Because you know what? When we don't learn to forgive, things build up. Picture a boat that gets more and more and more barnacles attached to the bottom. And it just builds up over time until that boat can't go forward, until that boat sinks. Forgiveness is, in a way, clearing out those barnacles. It's getting rid of all of the weights and the things that hold us down, that prevent you from functioning in the community, from functioning the way that it's supposed to. If we don't learn to forgive, there's no community. And I don't mean bury it under the carpet. But do we actually practice releasing others? Do we actually practice extending grace? Lack of forgiveness will destroy our mission. It'll destroy our walk with God. I was meeting with someone this week, and we were talking about resentments. Not part of our congregation, someone else. And they asked me, what do I do about getting rid of these resentments? Okay, well, let's clarify what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a couple of things. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not minimizing, right? We've been over this stuff. Forgiveness is not dismissing the wrong, oh, don't worry about it, something like that. No, forgiveness includes saying, no, that's absolutely wrong, and it is 100% wrong, and you should never have done that, and I'm not going to minimize it, I'm not going to downplay it or anything like that. Forgiveness is saying, but I'm releasing it. I'm letting it go. I no longer hold it against you. And he asked, well, how do I do that? We practice blessing. We practice blessing. We talked about how Jesus forgives the very people who are currently torturing him. As they're nailing him to a piece of wood, he says, Lord, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He releases them. He lets it go even in the moment. Jesus is the one who actually practiced blessing. Because he prays on their behalf in that moment, doesn't he? Father, forgive them. Don't hold this against them. He had clearly already released it and was now making sure that the Father does something about it as well. That's practicing blessing. How many people are holding resentments in this very room? Will we release and practice blessing? It doesn't mean that you don't have to address the issue. Address the issues. But you address the issue having already forgiven. Those are two different things. Address the issue so that there can be reconciliation. Make the relationships right if you can. You can't have reconciliation if one party doesn't admit to the other one, yeah, I was wrong. But regardless of whether or not there's reconciliation, you can practice forgiveness. You can practice blessing. You can pray for your enemies or for those who are currently acting like it. Let me tell you an interesting story. I heard this story, it was in a sermon I heard from one of the pastors who's actually now a pastor in our city, a guy by the name of T.J. Green. He tells a story about being called on the phone at his office at a church. Hello? The guy says, the guy on the other end of the phone says, I'm a warlock. And I and my coven of warlocks, meaning a group of men who practice witchcraft, are getting together to curse you, your family, and your church. And he starts cursing him over the phone, and TJ says, I actually saw this dark cloud of something appearing in front of me as this guy is cursing me. And TJ, at some point on that phone call, says, you know what? My God taught me that I'm to bless those who persecute me, and I'm not to return curses. So what TJ does is, on the phone with this guy, start blessing this guy. I bless your relationships. I bless your marriage. I bless your friendships. I bless your finances. I bless your relationships. I bless your ambitions. I bless the things that are good that the Lord has given you in your life. I bless and I do not curse. He said the cloud not only left, never heard from a warlock again, and his church appeared to be just fine. That's love in action. That's forgiveness in action. Someone who wishes active harm on another person does not receive in kind. Friends, the spiritual realm really does partner with us. It partners with us for harm when we wish harm. And God partners with us for good when we will pray and bless those who aren't currently acting like they deserve it. Because that's what God does. So could we approach this topic of learning to love, of learning to bless, of learning to release people from harm done, knowing that God is actually a whole lot more motivated to see that love and grace and mercy show up in the family of God than we are? Who wouldn't say we want to see more love in the room? Who wouldn't say we want to see more love in the world? But you know what? As we start to partner with God and say, Lord, I will obey. I will obey in this process because I want to see you do things in the world that wouldn't otherwise happen. I want to see you do something in our church that wouldn't otherwise happen. I want to see you do something in my family that won't happen if I don't obey. But I will obey believing that you will hold up your end of the bargain. God will do far more than we can ask, far more than we can imagine. He wants to see this produced in us. And the more that we live obeying this command to love one another, the more that we will keep our head sober-minded and alert because the end is near, and the more that we will mail our treasure where it should be going. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We have received so much mercy and grace, forgiveness and love in our own lives. How could we not extend it to others? Yet so often, Lord, I confess that I'm so far from responding the way that Jesus loved. When someone doesn't show me deference and respect, who doesn't go out of their way to show me kindness, Lord, I'm so far from learning to love well. And so, Lord, I admit having even just tried to share some of what you reveal to us in Scripture and what you have shown us in your life, that I'm so far from it. But, Lord, I know that I and that we can learn to obey well. And I pray that you would make us people who will simply say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I do really believe the song, Weak Made Strong in the Savior's Love. And so I really do believe your examples in Scripture that the power comes through obedience. And so, Lord, I trust that you will make me and make us more loving, that we would look for ways to show hospitality whether we feel like it or not, that we would learn to speak as those who are speaking the very words of God with truth and love, whether we feel like it or not. Lord, I'm inadequate for these things, and yet, Lord, I trust you. And I think there are lots of my brothers and sisters here who say, I don't love the way Jesus loves. But I want to. Lord, we want to be people who live like Jesus. And so often we fall short and we come to you once again and admit, we haven't done it, Lord. Often we've been half-hearted at best. Me too. And yet, Lord, we trust that you want to see more love among us. You want to use us to extend compassion and hospitality, welcome and forgiveness to others. And so, Lord, we once again invite you to do your work in us, but then also say we won't withhold our obedience until we feel like we're ready. Lord, rather, would you remind us to step out in obedience, trusting that you will provide everything that we need. Lord, I once again claim your scriptures that say the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you renew us in that? And Lord, would you renew us in trusting you that you will do more? Make us people who love well. And may we, after one act of love after another, return in worship and in prayer and just in times of quiet and say, I didn't have it, but the Lord provided. Thank you, Lord. I pray that we would be a people who could share story after story after story of saying, I didn't have it, but you know, I just tried to obey, and the Lord made up the difference. We love you, Lord. Make us people who love well. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we got one more song to worship with as we close. Always happy to pray with anyone that wants prayer afterwards. I do feel like I might have heard the words heart condition, so if there's someone that wants to pray through something related to that, I'd be happy to do so. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Thanks for being here, friends. Have a wonderful week. It's good to see you.